Now boarding. The official boarding area podcast would like to welcome aboard all listeners. This non-stop service includes interviews, reviews, and insights from our talented crew of bloggers. Episode number 26 is now boarding.
Joining Captain Ed Pizza in the cockpit on today's episode is Andy Luton from Andy's Travel Blog. Make sure those tray tables are stowed, your seats are in the upright position. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode.
Welcome back to another episode of the Now Boarding Podcast, where we talk shop with the best minds in travel. Whether you're looking to get to Orlando or Australia, we've got those covered and everything in between. Our guest this week is Andy Luton from the blog Andy's Travel Blog. Before we bring Andy on, I want to take a quick moment to ask you to help us out by subscribing to the podcast wherever you're listening, like Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get access to our show for free as soon as we publish a new episode. And we'd love it if you leave us a rating and a comment. We read all of your comments. And by subscribing and rating the podcast, you're helping us reach out to more listeners. With all that, I want to welcome Andy to the show. Hey, Andy, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, man. We've had Andy on my Miles to Go podcast, and you should hear him coming back on again soon talking about some not fun stuff. But hopefully today will be mostly fun as we dive in a bit deeper into how and why Andy travels and the sorts of things that he can help you guys travel better with, especially photography. I'm sure we're going to be talking photography today. I have a couple of questions for you later, too, because I'm searching for new cameras.
Uh-oh. Well, so on the blog, I just published my 2018 camera buying guide. So I tried to hit like every single budget, every different style of photography. So if you're like me and you love carrying around lenses and you enjoy having 80% of your luggage be photography equipment and you have room for like 1.5 socks in the rest of your luggage, I got you covered. Or if you could not care less about any of that and you're trying to figure out if there's a camera out there that's worth getting instead of your phone, it runs the gamut. So for budgets from $500 up to $50,000, that's on the blog, the camera buying guide. You got to check it out.
I can say that I have read a number of your posts over the past couple of weeks researching cameras, including the buying guide, and I think I've got my stuff narrowed down. But you know, suffice to say, and we'll certainly get into this a little bit more as we go through the podcast. If there's somebody that I have questions about in the travel world on how to take great travel pictures, you know, Andy is top of the list. So with that, Let's dive in. You and I have known each other for a number of years, but I don't actually know how you got into the travel world. What got you started?
My grandmother, who was born in the backwoods of Mississippi and lived very poorly on a dairy farm, worked her way up from that to be in the transportation business, not in the airline business, but transportation and logistics in Texas. And she worked her tail off, worked like 5 jobs at a time to make a pretty healthy living. And as a result of that, the entire reason she did what she did was for her family. And so she always took, when she took anybody, she took everybody. So one of the first memories I have is going to Hawaii with my entire family, and then going again. And then my uncle was a big traveler. And so he took my brother, myself, my 2 cousins who are around the same age, took us all to Europe in 1997 for a 2-week tour that basically showed us all of Europe. And it was just great because there were some of us on that trip who just fell in love with it and others of us didn't. But my uncle wanted us to be exposed to it just so we could figure out if that was going to be part of our life. And then from that point on, as soon as we got home from that trip, I was all about figuring out, okay, when's that next trip? and so it's taken on a life of its own in a very significant way. But I can point at my grandmother who passed away a few years ago. And that was one of the many things I thanked her for as I said my goodbyes to her. And I was grateful that I got to say my goodbyes to her like that, that she was cognizant until the end. And I knew it meant so much to her that I was so grateful because she's loved following my travel career as it took off.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think a lot of us, you know, spawn our love of travel from our family. That certainly was the way it was for me. And that was also how I got into blogging, because I was trying to help my family and friends travel the same way I did. I'm curious if that was how you got into blogging, or if you had another foray into the world of blogging.
Well, the reason I got into blogging is there's certain communication habits that people get into, and you've probably experienced this yourself, Ed. When you get back from a trip, people are like, "Hey, how was it?" And you're like, "Good." And they're like, "Okay," and then they go on with their life. Well, my brother and I went on a trip to Israel in 2012. And it was one of those trips that it was a mistake fare. We found like $430 round trip from DFW to Tel Aviv. My brother didn't have a lot of time. And so we got in touch with an Israeli tour guide and said, "Okay, whatever you take like old church groups from the United States, whatever you show them in 2 weeks, we want to see it in 3 days." And he managed to do it. His name was Boaz, because of course it was Boaz. He was like a seventh generation Israeli. Fantastic guy. Boaz Shalgi was his name. If anybody wants to look him up, and I have an article about that in the blog. When we got back, people were like, "Hey, how was it?" Like, well, I don't want to say good. Like, do you really want to know how it was? Because I took a lot of pictures and there's a lot of cool stories, and it was a pretty profoundly moving experience for me, as it is with many people in the Holy Land. And I said, you know what, I'm going to write this down. I need to document the pictures. If somebody wants to know the story, I want to make sure they can hear all about it. And then I wanted to start, you know, I started doing the whole credit card thing, like many others I had followed, you know, Ben Schlappig from, 1 Mile at a Time, Gary Leff from View from the Wing, as well as other people who aren't on the Boarding Area Network. And you know, I wanted to start telling people about how I did it and show them how I did it. And 100% truthfully, one of my goals there in the beginning was I wanted to say, okay, some of these guys are making like a bunch of money from this. How can I do that as a byproduct of helping a lot of people? So that was in mind as well, because I'm very busy in my full-time career in the financial industry. And so if there's something that was going to start taking up a lot of my time, I wanted to make sure that there was at least some way of trying to make things even. Since then, that strategy has gone out of the window, because it turns out I'm not a very good blogger, but that's why I got involved in blogging in the first place.
I don't know. I think I would take issue with that, especially when it comes to, at least from where I sit, being able to explain why I might want to put, and I'm sure I'll get the model number wrong, but the Sony RX blah 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 Mark III that you were recommending versus tons of other, you know, pocket style cameras that would fit in my pocket that aren't my smartphone. I thought you did a really good job making that accessible for someone like me who's just not a camera expert.
Well, and I appreciate that. And that's the struggle that I'm currently in. And I don't know if this is interesting to the listeners or not, but I hope it is. Because I think one of the things that you really need to identify about a blog and something as a blogger that you need to be constantly aware of is your voice and your audience. And I feel like my voice is, I've never struggled with authenticity. I've never struggled with trying to be me. For a long time, the tagline of Andy's travel blog was "Imagine a more creative title," just because that's kind of my attitude. Like, hey, my name's Andy. I have a travel blog. Why not call it Andy's Travel Blog? Since then, I've redone the tagline to "Travel Creatively." Get it? Creativity. But that's one of the things that I have to look at myself and say, Andy, is this a travel blog or is this a photography blog? I think there's enough overlap that it works, but that's just something that in the past couple of years, I've had to take a look at things and try to remind myself, okay, is this travel or is this photography? And to be honest with you, I think I have a good balance with it, but I don't know where that's going to go in the future. So are we going to see an Andy's photo blog someday? Who knows? Or is Andy's travel blog slowly becoming Andy's photo blog? I don't know. So that's one of the things I'm looking forward to in 2019 is defining what that is and then going after it even more, because I think a lot of my readers will understand that or realize that a lot of my travel has kind of fallen off because of work travel. Like, I'm not even going to requalify for my status next year. And And it's a big thing. So that's one of the things that's going through my head right now as a blogger. And I think we, you know, the blog is 6 years old right now. We're up to tens of viewers a year. I'm just kidding. I think, you know, statistically it's a healthy blog. My mom says it's the number one Andy's travel blog on the internet. So I'm happy with it. I'm happy what it's become. I'm happy that there are 25,000-30,000 unique people per month that come visit my little slice of the internet. And that just makes me exceedingly happy, and I hope they get some value from it. So it's funny knowing where I started out and then looking at where I am now, and then just, I don't think I would have ever been able to imagine that in such a short amount of time I would have, I don't know, it sounds crazy to say I have a following. I don't think I have a following, although I have been recognized in an airport once. And the only weird part about that was that it was in an airport restroom.
Yeah, I think we all have that. I think we all have that awkward story.
Well, and it's awkward, but it was also karmaic in a certain fashion. I don't know if that's a word, but just go with me here. Give me some rope. Because the first time I ever met Gary Leff was in the restroom at the DFW American Express Centurion Lounge. And like, after I said hello to him, I was like, I should have waited until they were both out of the restroom. And then sure enough, this guy walks up to me. Where was I? I think it was Phoenix. Said, dude, I read your blog. And I was like, yeah, I'm washing my hands. This is cool. Yeah.
Well, it's great to know where you've come from. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back with Andy, we're going to find out a bit more of where he's going to and what sort of topics he's an expert on. We'll be right back on the Now Boarding Podcast. While we're taking a quick break from the show, I wanted to invite you to listen to my original travel podcast, Miles to Go, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks to help you save money and travel better. Each week, we invite 2 to 3 of the best travel bloggers to share their strategies about the world of travel. Check us out on iTunes or wherever else you find great podcasts. Back on the Now Boarding Podcast with Andy from Andy's travel blog. So you mentioned that you travel for work, and that, you know, put a dent in your pleasure travel, if you will. What going forward, how much of your travel do you think is going to be work versus, you know, being able to go see the cool places in the world that you haven't explored yet, or doubling back to places that you have?
Well, work travel is curtailed significantly. So I think when I started the blog back in 2012, I was traveling on average about 20 weeks a year. This year I've traveled a combined, I think, 11 nights. So one of those trips was to Stockholm. So that was cool. You know, got to take advantage of that. And it was a beautiful place.
Is that where you got those incredible pictures of the, I forget what they call their public transportation, but their subway system?
Yes. The Tunnelbana.
Oh my God.
And I tell you what, I want to go back there when I have like 2 days, and I want to take a picture of every single one of them. So the Stockholm metro stations, for any of the listeners who have not been there, I think they have 113 stops in their metro and their entire metro system. What they do is they bring in artists to decorate them. And by decorate them, I don't mean like hang a sign up. These people, like the subway stations are carved out of rock. And then people go in and they paint the rock in these elaborate designs. And it's so stunning. It's one of the coolest photographic things I've ever done. Was I spent a morning traveling around to various, you know, more well-known subway stations to see what I could do with them photographically. It's one of my favorite posts of the year, and there's some of my favorite pictures. I'm getting really close to doing my top 10 pictures of the year, and it's going to be really a big problem to not include just 10 of those, because they really are that amazing.
Yeah, for folks who may not be familiar with Andy's blog yet, if you're wondering about his ability to take an incredible picture, you just need to go look at that collection. If you look at nothing else, they're just some unbelievable, like they look like they must have been painted or something. Like, they look like they just can't be real, and they're just incredible. And they make me, I've been to Stockholm and didn't, you know, was, I think I was there before they did this. So I'm ready to go back and see this. It's unbelievable.
Well, and then to get back to your question, I've done a lot of personal travel this year, and I have a lot of personal travel next. Well, a couple of personal travel trips planned next year. And a couple of things I want to hit. But I'm also hoping that work travel increases a little bit, particularly internationally, just because, man, I'm going to miss the status and I need to get it back. But while I don't have status, it's going to be fun trying out some new airlines because if I'm a free agent now, I don't need to worry about regaining status. That means I can take advantage if Delta's doing something out of Dallas instead of American. Then awesome. Let's fly to Delta. That's what I'm doing in January, headed down to Cape Town.
Mm, yeah. So, so we've touched on the travel world, and so it's certainly an area where I'm sure that folks can rely on you for photography, camera selections, things like that. With that being an obvious area where I would send people your way, what do you consider the areas where folks should come to you for advice on?
Well, I think photography is definitely that, and the 2 second. I'm going to try not to ramble here. The reason I got into photography was actually because of the blog. I've only been taking pictures for about 4.5 years now. I've never owned a DSLR camera. I've always owned mirrorless cameras. Yeah, and the whole reason I did that is when I started blogging, I looked at myself and I looked at my competition, including this Pizza in Motion blog that was just tearing the blogging world up.
I don't know about that, but...
And I looked at everybody and I said, okay, I am a marginal writer and I take marginal pictures. And then I looked at everybody else and I was like, these people are excellent writers, but their pictures are on par with mine. And I was honest with myself, with my abilities. And I said, okay, which can I get better at the quickest? As much effort as I put into writing, I don't think I'm going to become more than a standard deviation, a better of a writer. And it would probably take a long time to do so. So I looked at photography and I said, okay, there's not a lot of people talking about cameras in the travel blogging world. It fits a very similar demographic, people with usually disposable income, stuff like that. And I think I can become better at photography faster than everybody else can, and a heck of a lot faster than I can become a better writer. So that's the whole reason I invested in a camera and started learning how all this stuff works.
See, that's one of the things that I love about recording these episodes, because I would not have guessed that you had that short of a career with photography, because some of the pictures you take are just unbelievable.
Well, thank you. And the reason I would say that people can trust my opinion on photography and on stuff like this is I don't think I'm a natural at it. I had to learn how to do it. And there's something called, oh, this is going to take us on a big offshoot, so I don't want to go too far into this. But whenever I want to learn a new skill, I don't want to go to a person who's always been good at it and they can't really explain why. I don't want to go to somebody to whom this comes naturally. I want to go to somebody who had to learn it. I want to go to somebody who stunk and now is really good, because I can learn from when they stunk to how they got really good, versus if I wanted to learn how to do a back handspring from somebody who's just always naturally been able to do a back handspring, well, they may not know how to teach it since they've all just always been able to do it. So I started from nothing. I've taken some of the worst pictures you've ever seen. And now I still take some of the worst pictures you've ever seen. But every once in a while, I get lucky and, plan stuff out to the point where I can get a good picture. So that's a reason that I consider myself somewhat of a, I don't want to say expert yet, but a pretty reliable source on photography, especially as it relates to travel.
Well, yeah. And for what it's worth, I don't think you'll take too much of offense to this. You and I are built similarly. I think that, given the two roads there, attempting to get really good at photography from learning from folks who were bad and then turned to good, probably a lot better given our body structures and you trying to learn how to backflip, just my 2 cents.
I would agree with you completely, but here's the thing. I don't know if you are aware of my love affair with the Bluffworks brand of clothing, but there's this brand called Bluffworks, and they reached out to me a couple of years ago, early 2016, said, hey, we have some pants. Do you want to test them out? Said, yeah, sure, I'll test them out. And, the typical, I was thinking like a fashion blogger review is, it always falls in the same pattern. Oh, I wore these pants. These pants were good. I would buy these pants. Here's an affiliate link. I didn't want to do that. So I took the pants to the Great Wall of China. And I tested them. And then they were like, why did you do that? And I told them about it. And they said, okay, we're releasing a jacket, the Bluffworks Blazer. Test that. And so instead of just doing a normal test or doing travel this time, I said, okay. They said, this is a durable blazer. So how do we test that? Well, we tested it with CrossFit. So if you ever want to see somebody test the durability of a suit blazer by power cleaning 225 pounds and deadlifting 405 pounds in it, especially when that blazer is one size too small, man, there's a great video on the blog's YouTube channel about that.
I haven't seen that. I'll definitely have to look at that. I do have some Bluffwork stuff, and I can honestly say not only can't I lift anywhere near that much, I have not tested it at CrossFit.
Well, and so they have some new products coming out, and maybe it's time to try to learn how to do a back handspring. And the way I always phrase it to the Bluffwork CEO whenever I have these stupid ideas, they say, listen, it may not work, but the attempt will be epic. And that's actually one of my travel themes. Like, when you're planning a trip, don't be afraid to plan vigorously and have this huge, big, awesome goal for your trip. And if it doesn't work out, that's okay. The attempt was epic. Or sometimes you end up falling down a cliff in Croatia this April and kind of almost having to spend the night in the freezing cold weather with a leg that didn't feel right. So the attempt is usually epic as long as you don't end up frozen in Croatia. But yeah, you know, travel ambitiously, have these big plans. Sorry, that was just a random motivational moment brought to you by Andy's travel blog on a ramble.
No, I'm totally down with ambitious travel. I believe that my window has firmly closed on the backflip. So I'm going to stick with ambitious travel. I'm going to second your recommendation of Bluffworks. And I'm going to say that we're going to be back in just a minute. We're going to spin Andy through some lightning questions before we let him go. We'll be right back on the Now Boarding Podcast.
The Now Boarding Podcast is brought to you in part by No Jet Lag. Don't let jet lag get you down. There are flight crews, sports teams, and business executives all around the world that sing the praises of No Jet Lag. No Jet Lag is the leader in jet lag management for the last 25 years. Don't let jet lag spoil your next trip. Visit nojetlag.com to get yours today.
Back to wrap up this week's show on the Now Boarding Podcast with Andy from Andy's Travel Blog. Andy, a couple of lightning questions and then we'll send you on your way. What is one of the greatest places you've ever visited?
Greatest place I've ever visited, Queenstown, New Zealand. But the place I like going back to the most is a boring little mountain village in Austria called St. Gilgen. I discovered it. The first time I went there was on the Sound of Music tour because it's in the intro of the Sound of Music. But St. Gilgen is nice. It's boring. It's a relatively quick trip. I can do it in about 3 or 4 days from the States. And I go there simply to sit. There's this little park bench next to a lake there. I sit on that bench with a book. I never even open the book. I just kind of sit there and watch life go by. It's a beautiful way of de-stressing myself.
Oh, I love it. We've done a bunch of the Sound of Music stuff, but you know, more properly the Salzburg stuff. So I'll have to add that to the list because it's one of my daughter's favorite movies.
Well, and it's right next to the international headquarters of Red Bull.
Oh, so, I know exactly what you're talking about geographically then. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so win-win.
All right, favorite credit card.
A favorite credit card to use is the Chase Sapphire Preferred. I have the Reserve, got rid of it, only using the Preferred now. The reason that I say that, favorite one to use, is I think Chase points are incredibly flexible, incredibly valuable. And the insurance on the Chase Sapphire Preferred is primary car rental insurance. So versus like Amex, which would be secondary car insurance. Primary car insurance on rental cars is so crucial, although it didn't save me in Iceland, which is a story that's coming up soon on the blog.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. But I agree. I agree with you on the insurance and also the value of Chase Ultimate Rewards points.
But so, before we go into the next one, one of my favorite cards to have is the Amex Platinum. Even though it's expensive, I think it's worth it. I'm a big Centurion Lounge junkie. Centurion Lounges are about to open in London and Charlotte. And they got LA, they got Denver. It's most of the airports I travel to in the world. And the Centurion Lounges, especially for me, have never been more valuable than when I'm losing my One World Emerald status. So like in Hong Kong, for example, that means I can't go to the pier anymore when I'm flying on American Airlines, but right. I can go to the Centurion Lounge there. So it's about to become more valuable than it ever has been before. I just never really put any money on it because I would rather spend money on the Chase card.
No, I hear you. Although the fee increase on the Amex Platinum probably has to sting just a little bit.
It does. And one of the things that they're trying to do to make things better is they did the whole Amex Fine Hotel and Resorts. If you prepay, you get 5 times the points or 5 points for every dollar. I love that. It sounds great, but then it becomes a prepaid hotel booking. I tried that at the Peninsula Hotel in Hong Kong, which is not a cheap booking, a couple weeks ago. And they had it register as an Expedia booking and not a Fine Hotel and Resorts booking. So I had to get Fine Hotel and Resorts on to get them to honor the Fine Hotel and Resorts benefits, which was just a huge pain, really ruined the check-in experience, which is kind of a bummer when you're spending that much money and you just kind of want things to work. It was nowhere near as seamless as the regular Fine Hotel and Resorts thing. So I question whether that's going to be a really good benefit for Amex or not. I'm leaning towards not right now.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Favorite airline?
I am in Dallas, Texas. So you can pretty much fly any airline in the world that you want as long as it is American Airlines or Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines is the most consistent experience in the sky, but I hate flying it. American Airlines is the most wildly inconsistent experience in the sky. But I loved flying it because I had the status. That's going away. So now I'm a free agent. So I don't know what it's like flying a bunch of these other airlines as a non-frequent or as a non-status flyer. The airline that I think has been the most consistent for me has been Lufthansa. But I've only flown them in first and business class and never flown them in coach. The one that I've flown in coach the most often that I think does just a very... The floor, yeah, I think any airline, the service level, the ceiling is going to be pretty equivalent across the flying world. But with the floor of service, that's what I'm looking at. I think the floor for Cathay Pacific is, you could argue Singapore is the same way, but Cathay Pacific and Singapore, the floor for service, the basic level expectation of service, it's so much higher than any of the other airlines.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. No question. All right. Favorite hotel chain?
My favorite hotel chain. I guess Airbnb doesn't count as a hotel chain.
It's your answer, man. It can be Airbnb. Well,
I would say Hyatt. It's got to be Hyatt. Even though Hyatt doesn't have a ton of properties, their points are valuable. So like Hilton... Their points really aren't valuable anymore. They devalued their points. And the whole thing of a loyalty program is awards need to be attainable in order for people to aspire to accrue the points for it. When Hilton went to 90,000 points per night at their super duper properties, that's just ridiculous now because you're not, it's unattainable for most people without a bunch of manufactured spending, which I don't do anymore. And then with Marriott and Starwood or Starriott or Marriott or whatever you want to call it, I am almost 100% certain that my Advantage account hack that I wrote about the other day on the blog was as a result of my information being exposed in the Marriott and Starwood thing. So Marriott and Starwood, they can by definition not be my favorite hotel chain because they had the biggest data breach, second biggest data breach in the history of the world. And they said, hey, we're really sorry. Let us know if you think you've been hacked and we'll give you a year and a identity theft protection thing. Well, no, I want my Thursday night back from Marriott and Starwood because it took me about 7 hours to get my Advantage account hack under control. And again, I can almost directly tie it to my information being exposed by them. Hyatt, they don't have as many hotels, but when they do, the Hyatt experience is wonderful from top to bottom. And when I say top to bottom, I will tell you that given almost any Hyatt experience, give me a Hyatt place almost any day of the week. Hyatt places are not wonderful. They're not the most luxurious, but their rooms are incredibly functional. They have plenty of USB outlets at every single Hyatt place I've ever stayed at, and it is a phenomenally consistent experience for about $100 to $120 a night. Hyatt Place, it sounds crazy, but I would rather stay at a Hyatt Place than like a Hyatt Regency in some places, just because it is so consistent. I value consistency that much.
No, I hear you. There's no question. And the, you know, the Hyatt footprint obviously continues to get bigger. It's not going to be the big boys anytime soon, probably not in our lifetime, but continues to grow and fill in a lot of places on the map. So, you know, last question before we let you go, what is one place still on your travel bucket list?
The one place, this is a hard question to answer because I had two lists. I had places I wanted to go and then places I was saving for when I got married. And well, the marriage thing, that's looking like it's pretty far off. So I've been to a couple of those places on that list. And I'm going to another one in January with Cape Town. For me, it's a place that a place I would most love to return to that I'm not going to return to until I get to take somebody special would be the Lofoten Islands in Norway. They're a beautiful, remote, isolated place. I was there in January. I was there to get the Northern Lights, and that's a post I haven't written about in the blog, but I've been saving it for almost a year. And I'm saving it for a very specific reason that I cannot tell you about right now, but hopefully I'll be able to soon. I went to see the Northern Lights, and I'll spoil my own post. I did see the Northern Lights, and then I immediately got out there, or I got out of there. I flew home a day early simply because I didn't want to see anything else in the Lofoten Islands. I wanted to experience that with somebody because it was so beautiful, except for the moose that jumped out in front of my car that I almost hit.
I love it. All right, Andy. Well, thanks a bunch for being on the Now Boarding podcast with us. Loved having you on. Before we let you go, tell folks where they can find you hanging out when you're not on the podcast with me.
So I'm at Andy's Travel Blog. I try to post sometimes. And then other times, generally you can expect to see a picture of the week, and then usually I'll pontificate if there's news about America. But anyways, I'm on andystravelblog.com. Unfortunately, I used to have the Andy's Travel Blog Instagram handle, but somehow somebody else got it. So I'm not at Andy's Travel Blog on Instagram. I'll have to spell it out for you. So I'm Real Andy Luton, RealAndyLuten on Instagram. I'm very active on Instagram. Twitter, I do have at Andy's Travel Blog on Twitter, and I'm trying to be more engaging on Twitter. That's one of my goals for 2019. But yeah, Instagram, Twitter, and then the YouTube channel. So if you go to youtube.com/C/ Andy's Travel Blog, or just search for it on YouTube, Andy's Travel Blog, you see kind of a big ugly guy sitting there in the main picture of it. That's me. Subscribe on that YouTube channel. That's another big initiative for 2019. But yeah, so I'm kind of all over, and I love providing a bunch of different types of content for people. So I would say to any of the listeners, join up, join the conversation, become involved in the community of Andy's Travel Blog. And as always, you know, let me know if there's anything you want to hear about. Let me know if there's questions I can answer for you. And at the end of the day, like my tagline says, travel creatively.
I love it. And we'll have links to all of Andy's social in the show notes, so you guys can find those there as well. It was great catching up with Andy on the Now Boarding podcast this week. Andy's Travel Blog, photography, unbelievable pictures, and definitely advice on the best equipment to carry around your gear. As Andy said, whether you want to have something that fits in your pocket or something that takes up your entire carry-on suitcase. We still have over 50 boarding area bloggers to catch up with, so hopefully you'll tune in again next week. If you have questions for any of your favorite boarding area bloggers, be sure to drop me a line. My email address is ed@pizzainmotion.com, and you can find me on all those social media places. Until next week, I'll be finding cool places to travel. We'll see you soon.